What it do on deck? Cause it's your man Animal Brown checking in. Our sponsor for this episode is beardorganics.com. They are an all natural beard oil formula. I mean, it was made from the earth, Craig. It was put here for me and you. They got two flavors, coconut lime and my personal favorite, sweet almond. I got it in my beard right now. I smell amazing. And they have a special offer for our listeners. You get 10% off your first order by simply using the promo code ONDECK. That easy. Promo code ONDECK. Get 10% off your first order. It's already affordable. The extra 10% is just icing on the cake. So whether your beard game is A1 since day one like me, or you got the struggle beard like Spike Lee, Beard Organics will keep your joint moisturized and on shine. One more time. BeardOrganics.com. Promo code on deck. Support the real. Do what the business is.
It's another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lee.
Man, holla at your boy Animal Brown. Follow me on all things social media, Animal_Brown.
Also, I am there as well. Anything social media that you're looking for me at, I am Spike Lee. Instagram, Twitter, all your little fun things like that.
You ain't on Snap?
Very rarely. Very rarely.
What's your purpose, son? What's your purpose in life if you're not on Snap right now?
I'm an adult. That's one. I don't have time. What you have shaking this weekend, man?
Man, I had a very big eventful weekend.
Big eventful weekend.
I did. Went to New York. Shout out Brooklyn. They took care of me.
Oh man, you went home per se.
I went home. Queens Village is home.
Allegedly.
/ Nashville.
Allegedly.
But I was in Brooklyn.
We'd like for her to verify this.
I was in Brooklyn for the Rough Rider reunion show.
What?
Which I will go into detail about a little later. I think we got some DMX news on here somewhere.
Was it at the Barclays?
It was.
How was the Barclays?
Barclays was nice. I was there last year for the Bad Boy reunion.
I mean, how has it been since you've been? Like, nigga, ain't like you go to the Barclays every other day.
Telling man, it looked the same as it did when I went last year, dude.
I'm just wondering, has anything changed?
Shit.
You know, you down here in Atlanta.
Nah, but more on that later. What I did do last week that I wanted to talk about, though, is the Big Sean concert. That nigga put on a show that was 10 times better than I expected. Wow. I'm a huge fan of that I Decided album, but I didn't know how his show was going to be. Mm-hmm. His set was super dope. He came out to that Voices in My Head / Stick to the Plan. It was turned up from there on out, dude. He had me locked in the entire time. Mm. What's your girl named? Tiana Taylor. She walked in and sat in our section. I was like, what the fuck? It was super random. Only reason I knew it was her, because she had a big 800-pound bodyguard, and she had on like an all-yellow Tommy jacket. And who the fuck has on Tommy?
That's the real question. Let's get down to the real specifics. What that body, is it anything like the video?
First off, I was with the missus.
You couldn't sneak a peek? Nah, you a grown-ass man.
All, I broke my neck to look. Man. I just wanted to
clarify that.
I still had to look. Nah. And she had the oversized Tommy jacket, so I couldn't see.
Don't do us like that, Tiana Taylor.
I was hot about that, but it was super random. But that Big Sean show was lit from beginning to end. I'm shocked.
It wasn't like the tabernacle. It was sectioned off.
It was at the tabernacle.
Sectioned off?
But no, but I'm saying she just walked into the general seating area. I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But very good show. I think his tour is over. So, if you missed it, but catch him next go round.
It was just him straight through? No opening acts, anything like
that? Made in Tokyo opened up.
Okay, moving on.
What you have on deck for the weekend?
Man, I went to the Charlemagne the God book signing.
Black Privilege.
Black Privilege.
Every you got your first book now. That's what's up. Congrats.
I got you on reading. Let's get that very clear, nigga. You was like the slave in Roots, nigga. And I was showing you the books. Like, we can do that?
My first.
I know you reading, but no. I went to the Charlemagne the God book signing. It was dope. I will say that Charlemagne in person is a very humble guy. He was down to earth. He took time out. You had 2-3 books, whatever it may be. He was signing all of them. He was shaking hands. He was listening to people's story. I know one thing that probably gets tiring, like the questions in the Q&A was some slow.
Motherfuckers was probably crazy as fuck.
Man, you know, people had their own little agenda. Like, you got to screen questions everywhere. Like, you just can't let motherfuckers, like, tap, grab a mic and be like, whoop de whoop.
Nah.
But what I will say, the lady that, the general manager of the store, she came out before Charlamagne came out, and she was just, like, introducing it, saying how everything was going to go down. And in that introduction, she says, hey, we're going to have a Q&A after the sign, well, before the signing or the interview, guys. And if it gets too rowdy or things get out of hand, we'll have to shut it down immediately.
What did you think when you first heard that? Honestly, did you pay attention? Were you like, damn, bitch? Or were you just like, you just kept moving?
I was reading a book, the book, waiting on him to come out. And I was like, what? Like, you know how you get the what the fuck, your boy with the meme, with the Gucci hat on,
for
that,
sure.
That meme, you're like, what? Yeah. Like, so when Bobby Valentine comes up and does his book about fiction and sci-fi and fantasy or whatever, I'm wondering, does she give the same preference right
now? Good question.
Do you think she does?
Probably not.
Okay. So with that being said, during the Q&A when Charlamagne was out there, there was a guy that asked the question. He says, so Charlamagne, you say you never experienced racism, and before you came out, the lady, well, before you came out, the cracker ass cracker,
no,
as
he
put it,
that.
Those are his words, not mine.
No way.
He said cracker ass cracker. The cracker ass cracker.
He had to be from Florida.
Tough. That's straight Duval. Oof. That's Duval all day. But he says the cracker ass cracker told us not to get too rowdy, not to do this, not to do that. And if we weren't a room full of black people and you weren't who you were, do you think she would have said that?
What'd he say?
Great question for Charlamagne.
Yeah, that was a good question.
So Charlamagne, he didn't jump out the door and shit on her. Let's boycott Barnes and Noble, whatever it may be, which I felt like was very smart. All he said was simply, he started off with a joke, lighten the mood real quick. Let's get off his crack ass cracker shit.
Right.
And he said if she had announced herself as not being a white female devil before she said any of that, then we would have knew to be at ease and take everything that she said. She was trying to help us. But he said, not in all reality, he don't know her intentions. He can't get inside her head, so he can't say that she was intending that to be like, hey, I know you guys are black and you may get up rowdy or whatever it may be. He can't say that that was her intention, because he hadn't had an interaction with her that made him feel that way.
No, because he has a book and he's looking to do future books, and he can't shit on Barnes and Noble.
And also, he wants to do another Q&A at Barnes and Noble, Georgia Tech, I'm sure. So you got to protect that relationship, which I'm not mad at, though.
I'm not mad at it either, but
if I'm doing a book called Black Privilege, I got to understand what my privilege is and capitalize off that. And going in on Barnes and Noble at that point definitely wasn't it.
Yeah, no, I agree, even though we all know what she was thinking, though.
Right, exactly.
The same people that put security outside of the NWA movie.
Well, they follow you around the store.
When yeah, you follow you around Macy's.
Dillard's or whatever it may be. But with that being said, it was a great show. I don't want that to take away from the whole thing. Charlamagne's Q&A was fantastic. Wax was backstage with the two little shirt on. Him and Sheik Looch. You know, we were talking about how big Sheik was.
Sheik could start defensive tackle for the Giants right now.
Easily. And dominate.
Yeah, tough.
Not just be on the field dominate.
Pro Bowl.
Yeah. With that being said, him and Wax would be a standoff. That's a battle where the Titans knock down, drag them out. They'll need, like, a ring wouldn't even be enough. You just got to let them free roam.
It can't
be the octagon. Like, they need a whole space. Them two are the biggest guys I ever seen. Pause. Like, pause. But them two niggas, like, I don't want no smoke. Yeesh. But shout out to Charlamagne. That was a great event, man.
That's what's up, man. Shout out to Charlamagne. I'm fucking with the book. I'm reading it. I'm about two chapters deep. I'm gonna see what he hitting on.
Sure.
So as you can see by the title,
TV shirt too.
He need to rock that shirt one time on Breakfast Club, man.
Tough.
And don't wear that shit when Lil Twist come on. Wear it when like Birdman come back or something. Or Drake
never coming
back. Wear it when Drake on there.
It's not gonna happen either. Wear it tomorrow, nigga. Shit. 4 million views.
But yeah, now that sparked the topic for today, man. Best hip hop books. I got my top three. You got your top three.
Yep, we read.
Yeah, man. So that's gonna be a good topic, man. But of course, before, let's do some network news.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we've got other shows on the network. If you're a sports fan, which of course you are, everybody loves sports.
Mm-hmm.
Full Sport Press Podcast every Monday. Howeezy, Coach Locke, J-Hove. Their latest episode is up. They're doing a mock draft, NFL draft, for this Thursday. That shit came quick.
Tough.
Um,
who your Packers taking, you know?
we better take somebody in that secondary or we're going to get torched for 40 points a game like we did last year.
Don't y'all got Sam Shields coming back or something, though?
We need to get somebody in that secondary or we're going to get torched for 40 points a game like we did last year.
Trace, anyway. With that being said, shout out to Full Sport Press Podcast, man, and their – what was it, the draft preview? No, the draft, a mock draft.
Mock draft, okay. Yeah. They go through the whole first round.
Got my Cowboys taken, man, so I got to check that out and see who my Cowboys are taking.
Absolutely.
Also, the Ladies Room Podcast, man, they doing the 3-year anniversary show.
Yeah, it's already up. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shout out to them, Anne Marie and Rizzo. I got to kick it with them when I was in New York, too. Shout out to y'all.
That's nice.
Ladies, you look good. Mm-hmm. I chilled with them. They funny as hell. Had me laughing the whole time.
I can believe that.
They said they gonna step up the podcast, do it more frequently, and not just when the fuck they want to. So we're going to see. I'm holding them to that.
You're looking forward to it.
Absolutely. And finally, Fresh for Dummies Podcast, me and the homie Jay Hove. It's a self-help podcast.
Swallowed your tongue.
Man. Shit. Man, directly related to the fashion culture, man. Check that out. New episode coming very soon. Now, can we get into this rap shit, please?
That's what we're here for.
I mentioned DMX.
You did.
Excuse me. I mentioned the Rough Riders concert, which obviously the front runner for Rough Riders was DMX.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to talk about the concert in a second, but I thought it was interesting.
People waiting to hear about that concert.
Yeah, nah, we're going to talk about the concert. Joe Budden, though, okay, on his show Everyday Struggle,
yep,
when discussing DMX and his concert, said that DMX was a top 10 rapper of all time. Now, on the show, no one blinked an eye. No one. He didn't stutter when he said it.
Yes, because he on there with Academics and the chick
and Yo Girl.
I like her though.
And I thought it was very interesting that he said that so strongly, and there was not 1 ounce of opposition. My question is simple: is DMX a top 10 rapper of all time?
My answer is simple: hell no.
Your answer is disrespectful.
Hell the fuck no. If I could be even more disrespectful to this blasphemous statement. No way. Like, I can name rappers that are nowhere near the top 10 that are better than DMX. And the reason why, and you'll get into this later,
yep,
DMX can't even go perform now. I can't even expect a song out of this dude. Like, if Rakim wanted to, he could go perform.
Could he?
Big Daddy, yes.
Alright.
He ain't like the, I'm gonna let you get into the, I can feel it in the air tonight. But Rakim is not going doing that at concerts. He's not going, I wouldn't assume, drunk. I've never been to a Rakim concert, but I'll use another example. Anybody, actually. Like,
don't do that.
Dude.
Don't do that.
As for a career-wise, E-40's a better rapper than DMX.
Fuck no.
I'll go even more disrespectful. Scarface, better rapper than DMX.
That's fair, though. That's fair.
Okay.
That's a fair point.
Snoop. Better than DMX.
That's disrespectful. I'm telling you.
Because at least Snoop's still putting out albums, dude. Like, I'll put it to you this way. Jordan's 50 years old, right?
Okay.
Best basketball player ever.
For sure.
The top 10. Anybody in the top 10 basketball, don't matter how long they've been retired, they could watch you and me both in a one-on-one pickup game right now.
I'm not sure that
if we both go in the booth and DMX is there, that you or me could together come up with better 16 or individually come up with better 16s than he could come up with. I'm not sure.
That's the problem. That's the hole in your whole argument.
Why?
You're thinking of what have you done for me lately, DMX.
Okay.
That's not the point. We're talking about his career as a whole.
Right.
We're thinking level 10 DMX when he was a star.
Okay.
And that's what you go off of. You don't go off when somebody's falling off a cliff. That's not what we're counting. Everything that goes up must come down, dude. That's just how it goes. Now, he's crashing a little bit harder.
How did Jay-Z fall looking?
Jay-Z is the obviously the exception to the rule. We know that.
Fall looking.
I mean, see, hey.
All I'm saying is, like, if you're going to mention him in top 10, then you're comparing him to people like, I just talked to, nah, it's Jay-Z. Like,
that's fine.
No, it's not fine, because you're talking about a stretch of time. Like, yeah, DMX had a moment, and it was fantastic. We loved it. It was good for hip-hop. 50 Cent had a moment, too. We going to call him a top 10 rapper?
No. Jeezy DMX is better than him.
Jeezy had a moment.
He frying him. DMX frying Jeezy.
It's the same thing, though. Hip-hop was missing these things when these people came. They took the underground by storm.
True.
It overflowed and busted out into the mainstream, and everybody loved them, whether it be Jeezy for hustling, DMX for being street, or 50 for being gangster, whatever it was, it's the same scenario for all of them. Nothing is specific about it. Like, yeah, you don't tell me stories about DMX beating Jay-Z in a rap battle in 1989, because I don't care. That to me, that ain't got shit to do with his top 10 ranking, my nigga. I don't care. You can out-rap Jay-Z in 89, that's fine. But what I'm saying is there are a lot more rappers that have been way more consistent and can still perform today, right now. I can't get nothing out of DMX right now.
Dude, it doesn't matter if DMX would have got on stage and Michael Jackson moonwalked that bitch.
Yes, it does.
No, because...
How do you feel about DMX?
DMX was a movie star. Like, he was about to cross over into being a movie star. He was going
to
be...
About to.
He was about to.
In the top 10.
Dude.
That's all I'm saying.
He was like the New York Pac.
That's disgustingly disrespectful.
He was the closest thing to Pac.
I would rather you say... Like, what?
Dude.
How? Tell me how.
DMX came out in a time...
Because he was in movies and he rapped? Is that why?
Look, DMX came out at a time when everything was shiny suits. Okay. Puff was running shit.
Yeah.
This nigga came out with the dusty Tim's, nigga, no shirt, and a dog as a best friend.
That was him.
Man, he changed the game.
He didn't change the game.
Man,
he had a moment, dude.
He has six number ones in a row.
Okay,
bro.
If he changed
That's
the
not
game,
a moment.
Okay, let me tell you about changing the game. You remember when Jeezy came out?
Of course.
And you remember how many niggas that rapped about the stuff that he rapped about prior to him, in depth, every song, all album? None.
I'm not doubting that.
I'll go all the way down. None. Nobody. But soon as Jeezy came out and did that, niggas felt like, oh, I can rap about selling drugs and call myself a rapper? That's changing the game.
That's changing the game for worse.
I'm not saying it's changing the game for better or for worse. I'm just saying it changed the game. 50 changed the game.
None of them were as talented. None of them were as talented as DMX.
That's fine.
That's all I'm saying.
None of them smoke crack either, though.
That's true. And
so if we're talking about a list, we're going to talk about top 10 crackheads. DMX definitely makes that list. Whitney Houston, Charlie Sheen, Bobby Brown, the mayor of Detroit, the back in the day, Mayor Barry. Like, those people made it. He on that list strong.
I remember when we did the Hip Hop Mount Rushmore episode, long time ago.
You wanted DMX on that?
And I wanted DMX on the Hip Hop Mount Rushmore, and Joe Budden just backed up my claim.
But you a fan, though. You a DMX fan. You've been a DMX fan.
Of course.
For someone like me who just likes music, and I'm not a DMX fan, there's no way in hell. If that's the case, then you can't argue against people saying that Kendrick Lamar is top 10 right now.
Longevity.
Because he has three albums comparable to the three albums that everybody quotes for DMX.
Shit.
And don't quote me to, oh, he dropped two fire albums in 1 year.
He did.
Future just did that.
Nah.
We can't, that ain't a thing anymore.
Not to this magnitude. Not to
what?
That DMX, man. Them two
Future
classics.
Future just had two number one albums.
Them two classics.
Oh my God.
DMX has six number one albums in a row, dude.
What's the best DMX song?
Song?
What's your favorite or best DMX song, whichever one you choose to state right now?
The one with him, Lox, and Jay. I can't think of the name of it. Jump through the top where the sunroof used to be. I can tell y'all not used to me.
Okay, your answer's incorrect. It's what these bitches want from a nigga. That's probably the best DMX song.
Nah.
And if it's you would compare that to someone else in the top 10 as far as, that's his best song. Okay, well, yeah, best single.
That's best single.
That's his best single?
Yeah, either that or Slippin'.
So, that wasn't no single, was it?
Yeah, it was. Fire. Y'all got X fucked up. That's the moral of the story, dude. He's top 10.
No one has X fucked up, and you would have a strong leg to stand on if he could still perform now. If he could write bars now. If I could call DMX and get a coherent verse right now, then you would be like, I would definitely listen to your argument. But being the fact that you just went to a show and this nigga started performing Phil Collins in the middle of his set, nah, I'm good.
Can I talk about this show real quick?
Go ahead.
Because this... First of all, let me paint the picture. It's at Barclays. It's popping.
Same Barclays 2 years ago.
Yes, the same fucking Barclays from last year. It was a sea of Tim Boots and Yankee Fitteds.
This was in May?
Yes.
April? Late
no,
April?
Oh, no. Listen, on the train? No, hold on. I'm glad you mentioned that. Because okay. New York, I know New York is listening because New York fuck with us.
We fuck with New York.
And we fuck with New York. But listen, I seen a nigga with a do-rag.
Not no. Stop.
A Sean.
Stop your story right there. You ain't see a nigga outside in public in a do-rag in 2017.
I seen a nigga outside in public.
He had a flip phone. He don't have access to Twitter.
With a do-rag, a Sean John velour suit, matching top and bottom with the Nike Gom Dome boots. Listen, dude.
What?
Them little Gom Dome boots from like 05.
All right.
This nigga was fresh as hell in 03. If this was 03, if yesterday was 2003, then if he just came from a party. Okay. And the theme was 2003. He was the freshest nigga in the party.
All right. So
New York, I got to, hey man.
So New York fucks with us. I want to know what borough he was from.
That's a good, y'all, I should have asked him.
Know what borough the nigga, what did he have on again?
Sean John velour suit.
Okay.
Matching top to bottom. The Nike boots from 03.
What color was the velour suit?
Navy. Right.
Navy.
Yeah, to go with the Navy Yankee hat. And the black do-rag underneath.
Jesus Christ.
Come on. Hey man, help us help y'all, dude.
Did he have a Walkman?
That nigga were banging some.
Did he have a CD player?
Man.
Oh, that's funny. Let us know what borough he was from, New York.
Please.
Please let us know what borough this nigga in the navy blue Sean John velour suit in late April.
In, man,
with
my God,
the do-rag on. I gotta know where he was from. But go ahead.
Back to the show. All right. Barclays popping. When the empty seat in the house.
Tiana Taylor was there.
Tiana Taylor might have been there. Okay. That's how popping it was. It was cracking.
Okay.
Dragon opens up.
What?
Well, actually, no. The new signees to Rough Riders opened up. They got new acts.
Even worse.
Who knew that? Mm. Now, number two, when it was time for the Rough Riders to come on, Dragon opened up. He did three songs.
What three songs?
Obviously he did the down bottom
H2O.
Shit.
Oh yeah, H2O.
Yeah, he did a couple off the H2O joint. I can't remember.
That better be it.
Yeah, that was it. Three songs, he was out of there.
Shout out Dragon, though. I bought that H2O.
I did, too. Next, Eve came out second.
What she look like?
Eve looked all right. She had the one-piece, like, jumpsuit on. It was snug.
Snug.
Had the ponytail to the back.
Mm.
I was fucking with it.
Fucking with it.
People were fucking with Eve heavy.
The ass was fit.
No. Nah. That's
yeah, she date the white European.
Yeah, it's just it's like deflated. It.
Gotcha.
But people were fucking with a strong crowd was into a heavy. All right, cool. Next, Swiss came out
by himself.
Yes,
Swiss performed.
Yes, he did a couple hooks.
Was he behind a DJ booth or he had a mic?
Nah, he was performing. He was on stage with the mic and everything.
Wow.
Swiss beats did a couple hooks.
See now this is starting to sound patched together to me.
Nah, first of all,
I don't
took
need a like bro. I don't need a Dragon and I don't need a Swiss beats performance. Nor do I need
this. The Rough Riders, you need Dragon. What are you talking about?
Amongst everybody else, I don't need him to like.
Oh, man, like a solo set.
No, I don't need that. But go ahead.
Now, it took 5 minutes in between acts for people to come out. Mm-hmm. Not sure what that was about. And every time somebody performed, it was 30 niggas on the side of the stage each. Left side, it was 30 niggas. Right side, it was 30. Look, the Source Awards. That was strange.
On stage, like, did the other niggas have mics and anything?
No,
like that?
Thank God.
Yeah.
So Swiss comes out. He brings out.
He had 30 niggas, too.
Yes.
Wow.
To the left and right.
Jesus Christ.
He brought out French Montana. He brought out Cassidy.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
I'm not really sure. He brought out Fat Joe.
I'm not really sure.
I'm not really sure why he brought out French Montana.
What did French do? Did he like harmonize a hook?
No. He did a
was he his hype?
So
man?
Fat need a lap dance. Huh. And I ain't worried about nothing.
That nigga brought out French Montana.
Yeah. Then so Fat Joe comes out, does lean back.
Oh, it's sounding rough right here. I don't want my money.
Nah, people was fucking with it. People was fucking with all this. He does lean back, and right before Remy Ma verse come on, she comes out to do her verse, and I swear to you, no lie.
Yeah.
The sound that came from that stadium when Remy Ma walked out to do lean back was deafening. I couldn't hear shit.
Really?
Nigga.
Was it louder than when Gucci came out down here?
Yes.
What?
This was the loudest sound I had ever fucking heard, dude.
When Remy Ma came out.
When Remy Ma came out for lean back, I swear to you, a piece of the building collapsed and killed like three niggas, dude. Like, it was that fucking loud when she came out.
What do you think about that?
I thought that was very interesting.
You think people not fucking with Nicki?
I think it was just Brooklyn.
She from the Bronx.
I know. I don't know, dude. Like, that's just, I know she from the Bronx, but I'm like, dude, where is Brooklyn in relation to the Bronx? Are they neighbors?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Are they slick, like, related to each other?
I've never been in New York. I have no idea.
Dude, the sound was deafening. I thought that was very interesting. I had to ask Rizzo if Nicki would have came out, would she have gotten that same response? I'm very interested. She said, probably not for that crowd. Not for that Rough Rider crowd.
Okay, so the Ratchet, Rough Rider. Okay.
That, you know what I'm saying? 98, 99.
Yeah, he's in there fucking with the Rough Riders.
Right.
And it's the Bronx and the shit like
that.
Like,
locks and shit.
There. They took the train down. Okay, I get
right.
that. All right.
So,
makes sense. But she just got buried. So it makes sense in one sense, but in the other sense, like.
It was deafening. No bullshit.
Deafening is kind of shocking to me. I ain't going to lie.
That fucked me up. Then Locks came out. They brought out Akon for Locked Up.
What?
Akon came out to do Locked Up with Styles P.
I'm not.
He came. No lie. He came out. First of all, he came out too soon. He started singing too soon, so he was off.
I'm surprised Sheik didn't spring on him.
He did Locked Up. And nigga did the hook one time and left.
Was Sheik there?
Yes.
I'm surprised he didn't hit him. Clean Akon.
He would have killed Akon.
Clean him up, dude. Clean him up real quick.
So, look, the Locks go off. They brought Uncle Murder, too. Again, I'm not really sure why.
They on tour together.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, damn, they was on tour together. Yeah. So then, Locks leaves, so now it's X time. It takes 20 minutes from the time the Locks get off stage for DMX to come on stage.
We know this, though.
Do you know how long 20 minutes is when you sit in a stadium waiting on the next act? Mm-mm. It's like an hour. This shit feels forever, dude. So he finally comes out. The energy is dead.
And like your service spotty because it's
tough.
Phones.
Battery slick dead.
On Twitter. You can't really do no more videos. Ain't nobody out there. Yeah, okay.
The energy is gone by the time X comes out. Like, niggas is tired. The night is late as fuck. He comes out, does a couple of shit. He does like two or three old joints and then starts talking. Then he does a new song.
DMX ain't got no new song.
That nobody knew.
He probably didn't even know it. Did he perform it correctly?
He performed the song. Bro, it wasn't one person moving, man. Then he started ranting about him doing this and that, and I can feel it in the air tonight, and the gal in the front was cute, and he would fuck only if she let him, but he's joking only if she's not. And then his ex-wife was right there. He brought her out. Then he started ranting about something else, but you really couldn't tell because he was slurring. Then he tried to do another song. By this time, people are leaving.
As I would, too.
You know what it looked like traffic. When it's a blowout?
You got to beat that traffic, man.
Niggas was trying to beat the traffic, dude. And I was like, really? Traffic? Niggas is trying to beat traffic during the middle of a DMX 20-year?
Yeah, because he's not a top 10 rapper.
No.
You don't walk out on top 10 rappers, I'm just saying.
He had a bad night. He had an off night.
And he had an off career. Shout out to DMX, though.
But that was a very interesting night. A lot of miscues, a lot of bad timings. Eve was out there for about 30 seconds standing on stage with a full outfit and dancers waiting on the music to drop.
Eve ain't got time for this shit either.
No, she don't. And she said, man, I'm just waiting on my music to drop.
She a billionaire. She ain't got time to play with y'all on this Rough Riders tour and y'all 60 people on stage and y'all waiting 10 minutes to drop music.
She way off that.
Or DMX mumbling. Like, she done.
Yeah, with all that being said, DMX still top 10. No. And he also might be number one fall off. He might be number one rap fall off, bro.
He can't be number one rap fall off because he's right where he need to be. Most successful crack smokers, yes. He top 10 now. Rappers, no. It's not possible. Bobby Brown, Whitney Houston, Charlie Sheen, DMX.
Ain't that some shit?
Tough.
All right, man, let's move on. Time Magazine does their 100 most influential list every year. I've been on there like 3-4 times.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm a savage.
Is the same list we talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
They had two rappers on the list this year.
Facts, folks.
Two rappers made the list. One was Chance the Rapper. Mm. Two was Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover.
Is he a rapper?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
He's
a comedian.
He's a little bit of everything. So, did they get it right? Anybody they leave out from the hip-hop world, in your opinion?
Influential.
Wait, are those two accurate? Is that respectable, Chance? And
why is Chance on here?
Chance is winning.
This is a legitimate question. I ain't saying he's not winning, but why is he on here?
The Coloring Book album, doing what he's doing, being independent.
Is it the independent thing that has Chance on here?
It is.
And Donald Glover is having his hand in so many different things and being so versatile.
ATL.
Okay.
Or Atlanta,
me. Not even just that, but just being versatile.
Yeah, the music,
he can sing,
too.
He can rap, he's a comedian, he's an actor. He got a lot of things going on.
They're going for 2016, the album and the show easily will put him on here, which is fair.
Right, right. I'm just saying he got a lot of things going on.
True.
Like Octopus. Chance, I'm not shitting on him when I say, why is he on the list? But I really don't understand if you're not going to put other people on here like Kanye West.
I thought that too. No lie, that was going to be the person I was going to name.
I mean, because it's obvious. Like,
to
chances,
be fair.
Like, chances under Kanye, you got Yeezy and you got the shoes and all of these things.
That
like,
live show, man.
It's much, even the live
floating
show,
stage,
yeah,
dude.
Exactly. I'm not a big Kanye West fan at this point.
Yeah, you are.
I was prior to. But I would lie and sit here to say that Chance is more influential than Kanye.
In 2016?
Yes. All like, right. Chance, I'm not sitting on what Chance is doing. He's doing his thing, and it's great. I love it. I'm a fan. Yes. But more influential than Kanye, more influential than Drake.
He had a Grammy
Even
win, too.
Kendrick.
Independent Grammy
win.
We want
to talk Grammys, we can talk Kendrick.
Independent.
I don't.
Kendrick didn't even drop last year, man. Don't do that. We only talking about 2016.
But we talking about influence, though.
In one
from
year,
when,
in one context.
And the influence that he had with that album and the last thing that he came out with, he's still influential.
Nah, don't do that. You forcing him on the list now for
no
reason.
You're saying that just because Chance came out with the album and you're saying that he was independent.
Yes, and where he took himself to Kit Kat commercials.
So independence was the key.
White House, Kit Kat commercials, the Grammys, being independent, that's clutch.
That's
allegedly.
Ain't nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying that he's not independent. I just don't know how influential the Chance is. Because even though he may be independent, not just for me, even though he may be independent, if we're talking about influence, how many of his peers have record deals?
No, I'm saying of the youth, he's influential.
What are he doing? Telling people not to sign record deals? Like,
Now you sound like a hater. I ain't gonna lie.
You weren't hating
at first.
No, I'm not hating. I'm just saying where is the influence? He's doing his thing independently. That's absolutely right. But where's the influence?
So where's Donald Glover influence? You could ask.
He everywhere.
No, where's his influence?
After he said "Bad and Bougie" was the best song that
That's
he ever
fair.
Heard, where did the Migos go?
That was 2017, but I'll accept it.
That's cool. I don't give a fuck what year.
I'll accept
it. He on the list probably because of that. So I'm saying, if Chance the Rapper go say, "Hey, listen to,"
no, people listen to Chance though. People listen to Chance, bro.
Like,
just because he hasn't co-signed a song and then went number one.
Okay, he ain't done that, but give me one example of something he did similar to what Donald Glover did.
Come on, man.
I'm just asking you. Give me one example.
I'm saying when you're who you are, when you're Chance and you're able to be independent and broker deals with big boy entities like Apple, and you're able to put yourself in position to be on TV with Kit Kat commercials, and you're able to finagle your way to the White House, and you're able to donate millions of dollars to Chicago schools, when you're able to move around like that, you're influential. Kids are wearing that hat that got the three on it. Mm-hmm. Like, they're doing that shit. People are sounding like him. Big dog, grade A hip hoppers are hopping on his shit.
Is that because he Chance, or is it because of association with good music?
All of it, though. Because and you got to remember, some of those hits that are on that Pablo album, Chance wrote.
Okay, so I'm saying.
That's influential.
If I hadn't wrote songs for Kanye West, would that, like, the influence isn't necessarily him. It's what he did and who he associated to.
That's fair. Yeah, okay, that's fine. Okay. I get that. All right, yeah, that's fine.
And like I said, I'm not hating at all. I just don't necessarily think that Chance ain't there yet. I feel like he has a lot more to do. He's doing a lot more in Chicago. Like, these one of them dudes that you'll look up and say, oh, he was a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like 10 years, 15 years from now, you're going to look back and say, oh, he was a rapper. And it's going to be like one of the smaller credits on his profile overall. So
that's
I'm not hating when I say that. Yeah, in the future, not right now, nigga.
So
that's
other
what
than,
I'm saying.
So Kanye, you would have been cool. If Kanye would have been on that, it would have been like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's good. I'm good with that.
Any other, what if Charlamagne would have made it?
I like that. That's a very good pick. I like that as well.
What if, I can't think of no other rappers though. I ain't gonna lie.
I mean, that's it. Like, if we gonna do it,
cause I can't do Kendrick and I can't do J. Cole, it was too late. And he really didn't make an impact with that project.
Why wouldn't you put your boy Drake on there? Or Jay-Z?
Cause if you wanna say last year was an off year, and I got air quotes over off,
or future,
for Drake, because of people didn't love Views, but he had billions of streams off. He broke hella records.
He broke the YouTube.
And he also changed the sound with that Island sound, because people copied that shit. Tory Lanez, Tyga, Alicia Keys. So actually,
recently,
damn,
French Montana.
Damn, he should have been on there. Actually, now that I just sit here and
should
talk
he
it out loud,
replaced or been added to? Are we taking him off? Or are we taking?
There's other people on the list you could have took off. John Legend's on the list. Shout out to John Legend.
Alicia Keys on there too.
Alicia Keys on the list. I'm not sure why.
At this point, Swiss more influential than her.
So Drake should have made it over both of them. That's a good point. I didn't even think about Drizzy. Yeah. I was going to let Drizzy slide. I was going to go this whole episode without mentioning him, but you made me say it.
You're a Drake fan.
Slick.
Man, that shit, man. You OVO.
My goal is to be on there next year. I'll
you OVO
boy.
Animal. my goal is to be on there next year as well. You're absolutely right. We influencing the culture for next year. See, I'll make sure that happens.
Most definitely.
TV fans.
Now I'm going to say a name we haven't said on the show in about 2 years. What? Machine Gun Kelly. We've got Machine Gun Kelly news, the bad boy artist.
Something bad had to happen.
Yes, he had an on. Damn, you shit.
Man, only way nigga talking about him. The only way we talking about him.
He suffered an apparent heart attack while on stage performing.
What?
Apparent heart attack. He leaves, goes backstage, gets treated, comes back out, and finishes the show. Is this real or real stupid by Machine Gun Kelly?
I think he got that Walter White. That's the only way you having heart attack. How old is Machine Gun Kelly? 30?
He a young boy.
29? He ain't even that old, probably. With, as you look it up, I'm saying that, I don't know what Machine Gun Kelly was on to think or to have had a heart attack on stage or how hard he was going and for that to cause him to have an heart attack. But it doesn't make any sense. So I don't know if it was a publicity stunt. I don't know if he got us on to talk about Machine Gun Kelly. But what I will say is this. For him to go back out and finish that show, though, and for them to thought that that's what happened, he'll be for that. Because ain't no black person doing that. We ain't like a heart attack, nigga?
Right.
Nah, take me to the hospital, bro. I'm not going back. I'll get y'all money back. I'll get y'all whatever y'all need. I'm not finishing this show, though.
For one, Machine Gun Kelly is 27.
Having a heart attack.
Allegedly. Now what he said when he came back out was that he was having chest pains because he was doing stunts from a movie that he's in earlier in the day.
Quit playing.
And he took like 60 shots to the chest for the role.
And he quit playing.
And so he was having that's where the issues came into play.
He needs to quit fucking playing. What, you doing what? Stunts from a movie then?
Yeah,
he quit playing. Are you gonna rap or you gonna do stunts from a movie? Get you a stunt man, dude. Come on, Machine Gun Kelly. Now I seen a headline earlier talking about he got punched in the chest 60 times. Is that what the stunt
That's what that was talking
from?
About. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that's stupid. That's dumb. Like, I don't even know why Machine Gun Kelly would think he could take 60 shots to the chest.
First of all, what movie are you in? Are you in a kung fu movie? What are you doing?
Kill Bill 3, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's some shit I don't wanna see.
No, already. No, you're not the only one that's not gonna see that. So you're wasting your time, Machine Gun Kelly, doing stunts for this movie that no one is gonna see. Satisfy your fans at your show, dude.
This nigga said he got hit in the chest
60 times.
Dude, stunt if I think movie, I had a heart attack.
Stunt for a movie, heart attack. I'm 27. Get out of here, Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, he bullshitting. Nice try, though. Nice. This got you back in the. It's a reason we ain't talked about him in over a year.
He ain't making good music.
Yeah, he really not. Mm. I don't know. I don't know Why if though? I still. I don't know
is
if he's still
on. Signed to Puff.
I think. Okay. If Puff done wash his hands with him.
Puff done with that.
That's
why he getting punched in the chest 60 times.
Clearly,
if you was fucking with Puff, you ain't taking no 60 shots to the chest. Ain't no nigga fucking with Puff taking 60 shots to the chest. Not one.
Oh shit! All right, moving on real quick for this music break. Jeezy, man, you remember 2014
when they locked him up for that murder?
Yep, that's the one. It was in Mountain View, California. I think he was on a tour. Wiz was there as well. It's where a promoter had ended up getting shot and killed. Jeezy was held, questioned, and actually wouldn't let out for a couple days.
Well, actually, they cleared him. He didn't want to leave his team in there, so he had to make sure that bail was raised. He said bail was raised for everybody that was associated with him because he knew that they had nothing to do with what went on.
Yeah, so now the family of the deceased is suing Jeezy, saying that he is responsible because, according to TMZ, they have witnesses that claim the shooter looked like, and I got air quotes over this, looked like Jeezy, and that a witness picked the rap star out of a photo lineup as the killer. Someone also did a composite sketch, and they drew someone that, air quote, looked eerily similar to the way young Jeezy looked, end quote. How worried should Jeezy be about this?
I mean, I don't think he got to be worried about no jail time. So that's one thing. It just was a wrongful death suit, maybe some money settling out of court. And he ain't got an image that could really be damaged by nothing like this. Not to say that he did it or anything of that nature, but it don't sound like it's a lot of stuff to move forward on. I don't even think that he gonna pay a lot of attention to this.
Witnesses?
I mean, like,
when you say witnesses,
okay, so Jeezy's in a lineup, are you not gonna point him out?
I have no idea.
That's the most recognizable face there. Of course you've seen this dude before. So how credible would their testimony be? His lawyer, a very good lawyer, I'm assuming that he's gonna have, would argue, yeah, they know my suspect's face. Of course they're gonna associate. If he was there, if they seen him anywhere in the vicinity, of course they're gonna associate him with this.
Right.
So they throw that shit out. The witness shit ain't nothing. I don't believe. If it was, it would have been moved forward in a criminal court, not.
Yeah, because he was never charged.
Civil, exactly. So they might get some money out of court if he feeling generous, I assume, but I doubt it. Yeah. I think he got lawyers good enough to take care of this.
Yeah, I was just about to say, worried on a scale of it might hurt his pockets a little bit, but in terms of jail time, which is the, because you can't get that back. You can get the bread back. Tough. You can't get that time back, though. Yeah. So that's when a nigga would start sweating. But like you said, I think he'll be straight. But here the fucked up thing, though. How many times have we seen somebody got called out because they were the most famous person in the vicinity, and that's how C Murder got locked up. That's how Mac got locked up.
Your boy Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie Gibbs, you the most famous motherfucker. You gonna get pointed out, and they gonna get you for it, dude. They don't need no case for that. They be want to make examples out of people. Even Jeezy said that.
Yeah, it's easy. It's way easier to point out a nigga like Jeezy, like I said, than to do anything else. Like, oh yeah, he was there. He had something to do with it. At the very least, they're thinking they go get some money from this.
That's fucked up. And just on the on a similar note, before we get to this break, I saw Kevin Gates got 30 extra months added on his time.
2.5 years.
2.5 years added when you think that you finna get out, dude.
That's rough. Is it over for Gates?
2.5 years, long time, bro.
Is it over for Gates?
Doing the full 2.5?
If he do a full 2.5, do he got music in the stash enough for us to be like, okay, he relevant, he got a hit? You think Gates got that?
Nah, man.
It's over.
It's gonna be, even if he had it, he could have a smash in the bag, bro. It's not gonna hold you. Down
first album, right?
First album went platinum. That is Isla? Yeah, it's platinum now.
How he gonna eat off the rest of his life, though?
Bro, 2.5 years is a lifetime, dude.
I mean, it ain't over. I mean, he gonna eat off that. He got a platinum album. He gonna eat off that the rest of his life. He gonna be able to make music.
Yeah, he should be eating. Yeah, yeah, no. Like, listen,
Kevin Gates a talent. He a talented artist.
I agree. I would never count him out, but I'm just saying, you fresh off a platinum album, you fresh off getting married, and you got a newborn like this. That is some. That's
rough. All of that. You're absolutely right. I'm not saying that all of those things aren't rough, though. That's a hard hand to deal with. But he come from that. That's what he put out.
Right.
I ain't saying that he invited that into his life, but I mean, that's what it was. Like, you know Kevin Gates. You absolutely. Know his music, so I don't feel like that he not the type. He ain't.
He's a content rapper. With
he
it.
Ain't a, not even content. He just not a dude that can't deal with it.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's equipped to. Yeah, he equipped to deal with this. If it was somebody else, I ain't going to name any names, but if it was another rapper, like flat out rapper. Then I'd be like, oh man, that's rough. But Kevin Gates, I think he equipped to deal with it now. As far as being an artist, he's never gonna be as big.
Just done it. Yeah, man.
Sort of like when T.I. went to jail and he was on that train and people saying he was a Southern Jay-Z, and then he ended up being what we see today, which ain't no knock to what we see today because he's very successful, but he just ain't as big as he could have been had he not went to jail that time. Same scenario we gonna have with Kevin Gates. If had he not went to jail, he had a platinum album,
yep.
Been able to work. He a talented artist. Just got married. Probably was settling down, figuring it out.
Yep.
Bigger tours. You know what I'm saying? Bigger songs. Bigger artists was trying to fuck with him.
Bigger bags.
After platinum albums, exactly. Then he would have figured it out. But now all is deterred. And like you said, 2.5 years, they gonna forget about dude.
Yeah.
Ain't no big songs no more.
Damn. Hold your head, Gates. It's fucked up.
Yep.
We're going to a music break real quick. Then we're gonna get into these books. Okay, Le'Veon Bell. You familiar with him? Plays for the Steelers. Pro Bowl running back. Probably a top three running back in the league.
We talked about FSP at the beginning. Where we going with this? I thought we was going to the song.
No, Le'Veon Bell raps now.
What?
Yeah, he goes by Juice.
Le'Veon Bell from the Steelers, the running back?
Absolutely.
He goes by Juice.
Absolutely.
So he's just going to steal Walter Payton nickname.
Clearly.
What he going to do when you just go rap? No, like, we ain't trying. This is the Twilight Zone. So we just, are we joking? Is this a skit?
This is dead serious. We're about to play his new joint.
Is it a parody song? Or is like he really trying to rap? He got a mixtape coming out. Like, what? Tell me, give me more context.
He's as serious as Machine Gun Kelly's heart attack.
Oh, man.
It's called Machine. Let's hear him out, man. He may be
Machine by Juice. Yes. AKA Le'Veon Bell.
Let's hear him out. He's back on the scene. I'm keeping them coming like I'm a machine. Can never be finished just like a machine. I got all these diamonds. I'm making them sing. I ride for my team. Like, what do you mean? I got these jewels and I feel like a king. I'm keeping them coming. They acting like fiends. I'm painting this picture just like I'm a dream. I got a chain and I cannot change. I got all these women. They going insane. They catching these feelings. They going through pain. I am a beast and I cannot be tamed. Protecting this change and this ain't the game. Can be told if you're not in your lane. Got so many haters you wouldn't believe. I can never be finished just like a machine. Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Hey.
Stop it.
Hey. Stop. Go Le'Veon. Go Juice. Go. Mm-hmm. Nah, that shit was garbage.
Did you see the movie Concussion?
I did with Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yo.
You see that?
Yo.
I think Le'Veon Bell need to be checked for CTE. I'm dead serious, dude. I have no idea what he was talking about.
You're talking about being a machine, man.
What? I don't know what you mean. We don't understand. Like, look, me and you talked about this off air.
For sure.
If you want to make a little local engineer some money, you want to give a producer that's just a friend of yours a shot, you want to put some money in his pocket, it's cool.
And just make this shit for yourself.
Yeah, it's for you, your boys. Let them practice. Pay them money for doing something that they love to do.
Absolutely.
I like that. I'm not shitting on that.
Absolutely.
When Le'Veon Bell comes to me and says, I got a tape coming out.
I got a mixtape. I got a video. I got videos on deck. I'm a world star.
If I were a Steelers fan, I would be concerned.
I'd be hot. Get this nigga off my team. I don't want you on my team. You making music videos, dude.
Bro, what are you doing rapping, dude? Stop. Let rappers rap. Play football. Have fun with your friends. Sign a rapper. Have fun with them in the studio. Jump on a feature. Talk shit. It's cool.
That's cool.
We're not knocking any of that. But when you tell me that you're a monster and a machine and whatever it may be, and you drop singles and you do videos, I start to question what you got going on upstairs, dude.
Who's responsible for Le'Veon Bell thinking he can rap?
You ain't got enough friends.
No, like, I'm saying, who in the rap game? He heard somebody in the rap game and he thought that I could do this too.
It ain't.
No, he did.
He ain't got enough friends. He ain't got enough people telling him, nah, bro.
Why do you play in the NFL and you've been banned for drugs, but you name yourself Juice?
Juice. Off at Juice. And
gone off at Juice.
OJ.
So disrespectful.
Like, I just feel like that he don't have enough friends or people around him that were like, nah, bro, this ain't, none of this is a good idea. The Juice name, the rapping, none of this is a good idea. Let's focus on football. Let's try to get some championships. Big Ben for the leave. I'm the face of the Steelers. I really don't want a song called
Machine
by
Juice.
All right.
Garbage.
All right, we out.
Trash Juice. All right, man. So let's get to these books. Let's get to the reason for the season.
Nigga, you reading?
Yes.
What?
Do Massa know you reading? Classic in Living Color skit.
That was one of the top five funniest Living Color skits ever.
Classic.
Easily. Y'all looked that up with the slave that came out in the New Day in the Living Color shit on YouTube. That shit was funny as fuck.
Please do, man. So we decided we're going to pick three of our favorite hip-hop books. And, of course, by hip-hop book, we can either mean it's by a hip-hop artist.
Or
it's about a hip-hop artist.
Right.
Or it's about some type of aspect of the culture. So it doesn't just have to be this nigga biography, this nigga. It don't have to be that.
It ain't a hip-hop artist writing a book.
Absolutely. So I got three, you got three. Give me one of yours, man, and why.
All right, so we've been talking about DMX the whole episode, so I get right into that with that.
Okay. Put you on DMX, by the way. And this book.
You may have. And that book, you may have, because I'm not a DMX fan. You are. With that being said, the book Earl, though DMX is not a top 10 rapper, top 10 crack smokers and fascinating people, yes. He definitely may have. This dude's best friend was a dog.
Boomer.
Literally. In the book, he goes into detail how Boomer was his best friend. Did Boomer die?
Yes.
He cried.
Of course.
He was hurt. I don't understand that. And to me, that was fascinating. It was fascinating that DMX, he started smoking crack when he was like 12.
Yeah.
Per the book.
He jumped off the porch early.
And I'm not being disrespectful when I say one of the most successful crack smokers. He's been smoking dope for a long time.
Yeah, man. He do this.
It's what he do. And he was still able to come out with the back-to-back number one albums. He was still able to come out with the... DMX has been a successful crack smoker.
For sure.
And that book put everything into perspective as far as how he grew up, as far as not having his parents or whatever. Like, he basically raised himself. It was him and his dog.
Yeah, he jumped from foster home to foster home. He basically raised himself.
Tough. It was like a ghetto Old Yeller story. That's what it was, with him and Boomer. And to me, that was just fascinating because hip-hop usually doesn't accept people like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They usually are not the big stars in hip-hop. And he came out with those monster albums. He was able to show his talent. And then also able, at the peak of that, to drop Earl and not be ashamed of it.
Right.
Not hide from it and say, hey, this is what I started from. This is where I came from. So to me, as far as top books in hip-hop, it was very revealing because it was different from what everything else that was offered. Like, most people don't open up like he did in that book that are big as he are.
I agree. And or whatever. What I thought was interesting, first of all, I love that book. But I was, and this is coming from a fan, but to hear him, and he speaks about some of that stuff in his music, but to hear him explain it in detail about how he grew up, it puts everything into perspective and you understand why he is thrown out. Like, you don't read that and go, I don't get why he got thrown. Like,
nah,
why
you is read this? That and know exactly no, what's going
you,
on.
You know, you know exactly what the score is. You learn how he was still in the streets even when his first two albums was out. He was robbing still when his first album was out. He was
bullshit.
Still broke.
He was nah, he wasn't broke.
Yes,
he was.
Bullshit. He was broke still because the deal was some bullshit that he signed.
That nigga had some money. He had to rob niggas.
I mean, well, he may not have to do that.
Had I not been smoking crack, I ain't got to rob niggas. I could figure out how to make money off being DMX.
Possibly.
Exactly.
And he also talked about how Swiss was in the streets with him, too. I thought that was very interesting because who knew?
What up on Swiss?
Swiss made the transition.
What up on Swiss?
You would never know. Swiss was in them streets heavy with DMX.
What up on Swiss?
That's crazy when you look at where those two are at now, though.
His wife, the most influential person on Times List.
That's crazy.
One of the most.
Very good
got?
Book, though.
Who you got?
I highly recommend that. My book is the most latest on my list, which is the Sweet Jones, Pimp C's Trill Life Story. Shout out to Julia Beverly, creator of Ozone Magazine. Mm-hmm. This book was teased to be dropping for a couple of years, and I was wondering what it was going to be hitting on. I'm not a huge Pimp C fan. This book made
That's
me go
crazy.
Back. Yeah, I know, but this made me look at his bars and music in a whole new light. And when I went back and listened to his shit, I gained a whole new respect for Pimp C.
You should.
This book was amazing. Now, the knock on it is that it was 20,000 pages.
Shit like the Bible. I'm still reading.
That motherfucker was long as shit. But the reason for it being long is that it told multiple stories that all tied into Pimp C. It told the UGK story. It told the J. Prince story that's tied into it.
It told the most famous story. The masterpiece story.
It told a No Limit story. And all of these was tied into it at the same time. It tells the story of Texas, Houston rap scene. Very, very, very dope book. I highly recommend it. If you finish whatever you're finishing up right now, if you happen to be reading some, or if you need something to start, please fuck with this Pimp C book. Very dope, even if you're not the biggest UGK fan.
I agree. What stood out to me were the early years of Pimp C, how he met Bud. How dedicated he was to the music, just trying everything that he could try to make sure that he was able to put out albums, put out beats. Like, Pimp C was so dedicated to what rap was when he was starting. Like, he was only him and Bun and like two or three other niggas in Port Arthur were the only people rapping and stuff like that. And what stood out to me was the early years, like how much he was dedicated to doing this stuff. And people probably wouldn't give Pimp C enough credit to be like, he was such a music head.
Yeah,
that's what he was. He's a music head.
He produced a lot, did a lot of the hooks, came up with the structures for a lot of the songs. Very dope book. Cold, ice cold masterpiece story about him and the beef with, oh my god. And the book is official too. It's co-signed by his mama before she passed. Oh man, it's a very dope book.
Have anyone asked P about the kidnapping and shit?
They asked him that on Breakfast Club.
What'd he say?
You know, he said he's not gonna speak on somebody that's not here, that can't defend himself.
That's funny.
But nah, that story is legit.
I see you, Lonk.
Absolutely. What's the second one, man?
My second one was the BMF book. Yeah, man. Like,
that's a good ass book, though.
Fire. It gave you the behind the scenes as to what was going on and what probably was the biggest, well, one of the biggest splashes in hip hop as to when Jeezy came out with the Trap or Die, and you seen the DVDs. And this was the first time that we were getting a visual of like 2 hours, because you were sitting down looking at the War Report or whatever it may be, and it's BMF. It's Jeezy. It's the cars. It's the money. And this book, I feel like, put all of it in the context as to what was going on.
Yeah.
With Meech, with BMF, with Atlanta, how Atlanta came to be what it was in hip-hop, because it was a place to be amongst black socialites.
The movers and shakers.
If you knew what was going on, then you knew to be in Atlanta, because BMF had it rattling.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I think a lot of good things came from the book. I think there's a lot of myths that were crushed that let people see what really happened as to how BMF came to an, I won't say an end, but the era that they had in Atlanta came to it slowed down.
Yeah,
it's not what it was back when they were recording the Royal Report DVDs or whatnot.
Yeah,
that was one of the better books that gave a perspective on Jeezy, Meech, all the things on the DVD. The lady that did the reporting on it, and I'll get her name in just a second.
She killed
the one that wrote the book. She killed it. She gave a lot of details as to how it started, the cases that happened way back before we know what BMF was,
yeah.
And even the fact that it wasn't Meech and his flamboyance that got BMF caught. It was more so his brother talking about his frustration of what Meech was doing, bringing heat to them.
Well, also some of the lower level people on BMF that were doing violent acts that were not greenlit by Meech is also kind of what ran them hot. Incidents, of course, very famous incidents that happened with Puff, Puff security at the club. Also, they told about how, just hearing about how Meech lived it up with the fucking elephants and the zoo animals at the party and the billboards and the cars and we take the Range Rovers to go get snacks and.
But see, ultimately that wasn't a demise, though. The demise.
No, it was the lower level people, dude. The lower level people committing violent acts brought the police.
No, the police were there. Shit. Per the book, the police were there a long time before that. Mm-hmm. They were getting pulled over with plenty of that shit in them cars. They had the secret compartments and all of those things. And I understand what you're saying. You're right. That did have something to do with it to an extent.
Yeah.
But Meech wasn't involved with them.
Right.
The book made that clearly to be seen. He wasn't involved with them. So even had they had the heat come on them from what they were doing, it wasn't going to incorporate him so much. But his brother's frustration of Meech putting a billboard in downtown or Buckhead or Midtown saying that BMF owns the world.
Right.
Or doing the DVDs with we just a young rapper.
Smack DVDs.
Yeah,
and
but
shit.
No one's heard of Blue Da Vinci, and it's your number one artist.
Right.
People started to look at that. And he thought that was bringing them heat, but more so his phone was tough. And he was talking about this stuff bringing him heat and what they were doing illegally.
Right.
That was really bringing them heat, and that's why they got caught. That's why they got them 25 years from.
Very good.
And Maria Shapova.
Shout out to her.
She the one that wrote the book.
Very good book. Allegedly the movie or TV show is coming. You never know. 50 Cent was supposed to be a part of that.
Well, not Shapova. Shahoop. Shahoup.
Yeah, good luck with that. BMF book. Y'all look that up. Very
the Rise and Fall of Big Meech is what it's called.
And that was a good ass book, though.
Tough.
And of course, and that is hip hop related for what that did to the Atlanta rap scene and what the Atlanta rap scene did for rapping. Period.
I would argue to you that Jeezy was like DMX when he came out, as far as how it hit the change and what was necessarily going on. T.I. said he created trap music. Jeezy bringing a total new perspective to trap music. He was like a Southern DMX style of the wave that hit.
Yeah, because it was like snap music, ringtone music was coming off right through that little gap right there. He was the total opposite of that shit. Very dope book. I'm on that as well. Mm-hmm. All right, my next book.
What you got?
50th Law, man, by Robert Greene and 50 Cent.
Mm.
Again, this is not about a rapper, but it is done partly by a rapper. And, of course, Robert Greene, who famously did The Art of War and 48 Laws of Power.
Art of Seduction
Mastery. As well. Nigga, listen, the 50th Law. this book is the shit if you are not on this. Let me tell you why this is a clutch book. Like, it's big right now. Like, Trump is in office. Everybody trying to get their shit together. Everybody want to get their business off the ground. It's time to do shit for your own. We've all recognized that.
Right.
A lot of people look to books for that, including, like, this Charlamagne book is a good thing to get you off your ass and get you motivated.
Shout out Black Privilege. Go get it in stores now.
Absolutely. Now, I have read a couple of books to help me get my shit together. The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People.
Fire.
Contagious.
I got you on there, by the way.
No, probably not.
That did.
The $100 Startup. Things of that nature to kind of get your mind rolling in terms of business and what you can do to better your life and work for yourself and live that American dream. Mm-hmm. None of that means anything if you don't read this 50 Cent book about getting over fear. Because that's the hardest part to get going. Because you're conditioned to doing a 9-to-5, getting your check every 2 weeks. We're all conditioned and we think that that's the way. And the thought of stepping out on your own and doing shit on your own is frightening to a lot of people.
Yep.
You have to read this 50 Cent book, The 50 of Law, which talks about beating fear and giving principles on how to get over that fear using 50 Cent life as an example. The book is fucking amazing. If I hadn't read that before I read these other ones, it wouldn't hit the same. I'm telling you.
You're right.
Read that fucking book.
I don't have any debate with that. That's an essential book as far as...
Must have.
Yeah, like dealing with fear and being a male, black male, whatever it may be, like you don't necessarily want to say when you're scared.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can't deal with emotion the same way everybody else do. And with that being said, this book right here teaches you how... Well, not teaches you, but gives you a suggestion on... how to navigate that.
Right.
And that's why I fucked with it like you said. It ain't really preachy.
Nah.
It ain't really like, do this, do that. It ain't cheesy. It's more so like, okay, if you're in this, then take these little simple principles into effect, and it's how you can be more effective.
Yeah.
And I loved it for that. You're right.
It's a very dope book. It's going to get them roadblocks out of your way, which is going to clear the path for you to read other dope-ass books. And then you can actually act on the shit that you read on. Like, I'm telling you, read this before you read the other. If you're into the entrepreneurship and stuff like that. If you ain't into that, then fuck it. But it's still a good read. What's your third book, man?
Decode It.
Woo!
Fire.
Crack.
First and foremost, the presentation alone. Like, that book was worth every penny is how it looked when you bought it.
True.
It felt like it was a gift. It felt like it was something special. And to just go through whole lyrics and for him to elaborate on them.
Yeah.
Being that he's not a person that writes stuff down, puts it in a notebook, got the big, in-depth, elaborate pages of work as far as lyrics like you would see with Pac, like you would see with Eminem, like you would see with most rappers. For you to see that in book form and him explaining a lot of the stuff and how it got there, how it made it to a song, how is it... it was important to him. I feel like that book was fire.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most important books of hip hop. Well, I ain't gonna say important, but one of the most...
Nah, it's important.
One of the dopest. Well, not important if you don't fuck with Hov. I can see millennials.
Who doesn't fuck with Hov?
Millennials. They don't fuck really with Hov.
Do millennials read? I'm a millennial. Late millennial, but I'm a millennial.
You barely making that cuss, my nigga.
Listen, Hov to our generation is the GOAT.
You more Generation X.
Hov to our generation is the GOAT, and this book proves why. If you had any doubts, it breaks down his lyrics, shows you how complex that shit is. I have been a Jay-Z fan for a very long time, and I learned new shit reading this book. Like, it's like you said, and it's very dope presentation wise, like dope pictures. I like the cover. I like, man, that book was... I was reading that. I was so locked into that shit, dude.
Shoot, fire.
Like, I was locked in. It bring dude bars to life, though.
Yeah.
As if they weren't already, though.
And it ain't even just, like, wash away songs. It's the songs that you want to know. Like,
classics.
What did he mean for real right here? And boom, he giving it to you in the form of a book. He giving you the bars and then he giving you the next page of what he really was thinking. Like, man, that shit, that right there, that's art.
Can any other rapper do that effectively? Drop a book with their lyrics and it'd have the same impact today?
I feel like
no. I feel like the answer is no. That's what you want to say.
Okay, yeah, I say no.
Not yet.
But what I will say is, if anyone right now were to do it, the person that were to do it would be J. Cole.
Really?
Closely associated to Hov. He would tell them how to format it. he was trying to take that 1401
really
run with the whole
or the 2014
20, you know this is a running joke on the show. You ain't gonna let it ride once.
Nope.
One time.
Nope.
Anyway, the 2014 he'll take that format that into something that's presentable in book form. I feel like that's the closest thing that we've seen.
Nah, you can say the same for Kendrick, Good Kid, Mad City, and the Pimp a Butterfly, honestly. You could probably break that down, too. But that catalog isn't long enough yet, because those are that from J. Cole and maybe the last one, right. But you can't do it for his first two or three. So, I mean, it's you can do it for Kendrick's three, probably.
No, ain't no probably.
And I'll just skip the, but I could just rip out the pages for the Butterfly chapters.
You ain't got to.
Nah, I'll just rip them out.
Because those are fire.
Nah, I'll just rip that shit off. I'll burn them.
That's the medicine in between the candy.
I'll start a fire with
those
pages.
You just want the candy, but the medicine is there. Yeah,
I'll start a fire with that shit. All right, man, my last book before we hit this music. Well, we still gonna talk about a little bit more about books, but my last one, my third book, Tupac, Rose That Grew From The Concrete. Now,
that was in the archives right there.
Yeah, I pulled that out the motherfucking stizash. This book is a book of his poems that he wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you're thinking, poems? Come on, dog.
Right.
This is a rapper, right, who was preaching thug life, who had singles, who had has got classic albums, was on death row under Suge Knight. Who would have thought that he would have been able to put out a book full of poems?
Me.
Okay, maybe you, but not the general consumer, especially if you follow the news.
Yeah.
Dude, if you read some of these poems, and I'm not a poem guy. Like, I'm not just sitting around reading Maya Angelou with the fucking Bath and Body Work candles lit around
me in a
circle. Shea
butter on your beard?
Right, with the shea butter on my beard and elbows and shit. I'm not that type of person. But I was reading this. I was fascinated by how dope these poems were, though, dude.
Wait, were you fascinated because it was Pac?
Partly, yes.
Hmm.
But partly because he was speaking. He sounded like me or you wrote it. Like, he sounded like it was just a regular person. They were very relatable. Huh?
I'm not regular.
Fuck. It sounded like a regular person wrote it, and they were very relatable to just everyday life. And when you're able to write the music that he was writing, and then you're able to switch that up and do it in a whole different format with the poems, that's why when people get out here and call themselves Pac or the new Pac, it's blasphemous, because he could do shit like this.
Right. Like Troy Ave, where's your rose from the concrete?
He,
you know what I'm saying?
Like, it's impossible for him to do that. Saying,
right. Because Pac was so versatile, and the reason that I respect this book so much, because like you said, he was able to step away from the acting, step away from Bishop and Juice, step away from Tupac on Me Against the World, and write these things from a normal, everyday man. Not a black man, not a whatever man, just a man. And it's dope. To me, my favorite one is Depths of My Solitude.
Mm-hmm.
That's fire. Like,
now, dude, cold, bro.
Yeah, like, go read Depths of My Solitude, comment in the rap chat on Facebook. Let me know what you think about that, because that's my favorite one. And I just feel like that there are things to be learned about Pac in this book, because he was way more than just a rap artist. And the reason that people rank him so high on their list, because his words impacted them so much.
Right.
You put him against anybody else, you'll say, oh, lyrically, he ain't the greatest. But with that being said, you give him the book, Rose From The Concrete, and no one else can do that. Like, Biggie not writing that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z not writing that. No. It's not happening. So that's why he is still able to withstand the test of time and still hang up there with the best MCs or the best rappers that you would name.
Very dope, very underrated book. Was there anything else that you may have not gotten a chance to read? Is there anything that you wish would come down the pipeline? What you got in terms of hip-hop books?
I want to say that I read two shameful books, probably Kareem Stephens' Superhead book.
I read that too, I ain't gonna lie.
And it was enjoyable.
Nah, it was a good book.
Yeah, like how she went through her whole process, the people that she dealt with, that shit was good.
It was interesting, bro. Like, it gave you a look behind the curtain of the hip hop life.
I read Nas' baby mama book.
Carmen?
Yeah,
I ain't read two of the chick books.
It was all right, though.
Nah, I don't believe
that. I'm telling you, it was all right. It gave you a lot of perspective into how Nas, Jay-Z, that whole thing happened. Like,
I ain't biting.
It give you the early look.
I ain't biting.
She ain't naming Jay in the book, but you know who she talking about. Once you listen to Zetcha Chick, you're like, oh, okay. I get all of this.
Let me give two honorable mentions.
Okay.
Prodigy.
Mm.
Even though I'm not, as I mentioned last week, I'm not a Mobb Deep fan.
Is the Nori shooting in there?
Yes.
Yes.
It's some good stories in there.
Shout out Drink Champs, man.
I don't doubt that Prodigy from Mobb Deep has seen a lot. So yeah. I'm not mad. Everybody has a story to tell. He had an interesting story, gave you a glimpse into that Queensbridge, New York life.
It sounds like it's a butt coming.
Nah, that's it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay.
It was a good book. I'm not going to lie. All
right.
Also, what's my man name? The Big Payback.
Mm.
That's a really good book about the business of hip hop. That's a really good book.
Wendy recommended that too.
Absolutely. Wendy Day recommended. It's a lot though. It's a big ass book. It's got a lot to it.
Yeah.
So, but if you get a chance to get to that,
books.
Absolutely. That's a pretty good book too. But go ahead. You got something that you want to see come down?
What I was going to ask you is, with those books that we mentioned and the books that we read, if there were one person that you could see have one coming out, or you could see that you wanted to know the backstory, you want to know something more about something that they had going on, who would that be?
Oh, that's easy.
Oh.
Gucci.
What?
And that's because he got one coming out in September.
So,
I'm very interested in this Gucci Man book.
That's not going to be.
Very.
What you think you're going to get from that, though?
I'm going to get
like,
the story.
Like, you're not going to get, like, in the trap Gucci Man behind the scenes. It's not going to happen.
It's the autobiography of Gucci.
He's not going to be able to, like, he's not going to be able to recall it. I swear to God, he's not. Like, at best, it's going to be misty memories of what went on during that time. What I want to know is, or what I'm more concerned about, like, I would love to see, like, a T.I., tell all, or a
really
tough like somebody.
What don't
that,
you already know?
Why? Because he got the show already.
He got the show, and he puts a lot of that in his shit.
I guess because I'm a fan, so I move even on beyond that. Jeezy, you don't want to see that Jeezy book?
Man, he not gonna open up, man. I need somebody Jeezy to be candid,
but I don't think Gucci gonna do that. Gucci gonna give
new
you
Gucci
what,
is.
He gonna give you what you expect from new Gucci.
Clone Gucci is gonna open up.
You know what? Pusha T.
I can see that.
That'll be fire.
Now I read his brother's book. I read Malice's book.
Pusha T. If Pusha T. was able to open up and the statute of limitations were removed.
Ah, yeah.
I love that.
Nah, I would too. Not gonna lie. I ain't like his brother book though. I'm gonna come clean.
I ain't like it. There's no way I'm fucking with
it. And I thought the moment that he gassed in the book about why he left rap and stuff, I thought he gassed it all the way up, and I thought it was whack. I thought it fell flat.
What about a Snoop book?
That's a
starting at Death Row.
9,000. Now, if there was a behind the scenes of Death Row,
No Limit, all of that.
Ooh,
all of that, man.
Yeah, it's a lot of shit that I fuck with. I need that Gucci book in September though.
I ain't impressed.
Also, I need to read Dirty South too. Dirty South, the Southern rappers who reinvented hip hop. That looks dope. Mm-hmm. And that same author has one called Original Gangsters, The Birth of West Coast Rap, which I heard was super dope too. Hmm. About Eazy-E, N.W.A., the shit that they didn't show you in the movie and stuff.
What's the author name?
Ooh, I had to pull it up before this after this music break.
We will have that for you shortly.
Absolutely. Now to the music. Currency is the only person that's dropping this week.
Hmm.
I think this might be his second release of the year. Coming off a 12 project release last year, he's slowing down a little
money
bit.
Money in money, slowing down.
Yeah, man. This is called the 420 Massacre. Shout out to 420, everybody that celebrated that. And he's going over some Jack beats, man. He hopped on that Mask Off beat. I thought him
Currency on. Currency on that Mask Off?
I thought that was a very interesting mix. Mm. And I thought people would be interested in hearing what he would sound like on that Mask Off beat, on them flutes. Let's hear Currency, man. See if he did a respectable job on this Mask Off.
Yo. Midnight, paddle shifting my Medina. Hoes thought I sold it, cause I ain't been seeing it. But it's out, we turn the corner smoking weed in it. Baby jeans, 30 G's in them, it come with leadership. You switching cars, cause you always leasing shit. I'm switching cars, I got 30, all me, bitch. Money on the flow, magnetize your hoe. My team finna leave, she asking if she can roll. Can she roll up the weed? Can she roll over after we fuck? Can she get ready to roll out and leave? Type of bitch that I need. She could keep a secret, she could keep a G. She could hold a couple P's at a house with me. Fast cars, nigga took the traction off. smashed hard. I smoked out the boulevard. Niggas is broad and they feelings mad soft. Them pussies need a box of tampons. We popping bottles every day, we win the game seven. We riding foreigns, ducking charges like we can't sell it. Affording 12 in my Porsche 911. Living in hell on earth, but getting high as heaven. Chill.
Man, look at Currency, man. Wave riding that motherfucking mask off. One of the bangers of 2017.
He gonna do what he do, though. Currency gonna come. He gonna come through. He gonna show up. He gonna show out. He gonna do what he do for his fans.
Yeah.
So I like that.
He's gonna consistently give you 20 and 10.
Yeah. That's Currency. He's Joe Johnson.
That's a fact.
Currency is Joe Johnson. He ISO Joe. That's Currency. He's gonna come up. He's gonna show up. He's gonna do what he gotta do. He's gonna do it for a long time. He's gonna be good at it. He's gonna be out of there.
That Dirty South book that we were referencing previously is the author is Ben Westhoff.
Ben Westhoff.
Yes, Ben Westhoff. Y'all check out that Dirty South book. And that
what's the name of it? That Dirty South.
No, it's called Dirty South. Outkast, Lil Wayne, Soulja Boy, and the Southern rappers who reinvented hip hop. He almost lost me with the Soulja Boy.
Why is he in there?
But I get it though.
No, you don't.
This is from 2011, so this was pre.
Oh, okay.
This is pre Bompton, Soulja Boy.
I got you.
All right, man, we back.
On Real Deck quick. TV podcast, y'all go check out the Rap Chat on Facebook. Leave your comments about tonight's show. Anything that you want to have a conversation about, we will be there. We check it consistently.
We had 600 members. Shout out to y'all.
We're interacting with the fans. The fans interacting with each other. We love it. It's a great space for hip-hop, hip-hop debates, hip-hop discussions, all of that stuff. So, y'all go to the Rap Chat on Facebook, On Deck TV Podcast.
Absolutely. Now, before we get out of here, did you see of the week?
Mm-hmm.
There was a picture.
Of?
It was a Lil Wayne sighting. Lil Wayne.
Is that rare?
Yeah. In 2017, a little bit.
Okay.
There was a sighting of Wayne. He's talking to Rick Ross.
Who?
Rosé. Nah, that's okay. That's a normal picture. Ross and Wayne have a history. They've made several songs together.
They look like it was in deep. Like, it wasn't a normal conversation. Of, hey, how the album doing? It wasn't that.
Nah.
It was like, let me put this buggy here, bro.
It wasn't, let's post for this Instagram picture. It looked like Ross was in deep convo, like you said, with Wayne. Ross looked like he was doing a lot of talking. Wayne looked like he was doing a lot of listening. Yeah. Now, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. What is it that Ross was telling Wayne, and was Wayne trying to hear that shit, in your opinion?
Ross was telling Wayne, come over here to MMG. Already made the statement about baby. Already made it cool. Already made the bridges clear for you to cross. Come cross. Me and you together going as a record deal on MMG. It's going to get us way more money because I'm up for a new deal. So I can go and say, I got Wayne. I got Meek. I got Wale.
Yeah.
All of these people about to drop new albums. I can give you Carter 5. Or what is it, 6?
Nah, it'd be 5.
5. I can give you Carter 5. That's what he telling. That's what he telling Wayne. So let me work it out with Birdman, because I already put the press on him with the song Idols Become Rivals. Let me put the press on him. All you need to worry about is Carter 5. Like, he kept saying Carter 5.
That's how he said it too.
Like, he kept saying little brother and him. He kept Carter 5.
Yeah.
Let me do everything. You just worry about Carter 5. Carter 5. Imagine that Maybach music coming on Carter 5. That's what he told him. And Wayne was like, you know what, that shit sound good, my nigga, but how we gonna make this work? Cause Birdman been doing this shit for 30 years.
Yeah.
And ain't nobody been able to knock that nigga off the perch. So I feel like Wayne was listening, but he know what's going on.
I feel like I'm right with you. He was making the pitch, the MMG pitch. And you know what, now that I think about this, that Rivals Become Idols, excuse me, Idols Become Rivals track, when which he went hard at Birdman, that might have just been the seeds planted to eventually pull Wayne from Young Money, Cash Money.
That's what it is, man. Because even later on in the CD, he said, I got that money to get what did he say? I got the money to get Lil Wayne from Cash Money.
Right.
Yeah, he said that at some point in the CD too, outside of the Idols Become Rivals song.
So now that I'm looking at it, I know Ross is a very smart businessman.
Yeah.
He probably was telling them about how easy it is to get them checkers, how easy it is. He like, bro, it's easy. I can get you a couple checkers in New Orleans. We can get you a couple in Miami. Mm-hmm. We can get you a couple wing stops. I done got Meek. He got two of them in Philly. I'm telling you, it's easy money. He putting them up on game that Wayne may or may have missed while he was in his little codeine cloud for those couple of years. He putting them up on game, and he's making the pitch, and I think he was biting. Wayne looked like he was listening extra hard.
He did. He did look like he was listening extra hard, but I don't even think it was that pitch. I think it was the pitch. And, well, if me and you go to, what is it? What's Kevin Lyles and them shit? 300? If me and you go to 300, it's different than I go and you go. If me and you go to Def Jam, it's different from if I go and you go. If me and you go to Rock Nation together, since Ross out of his deal right now, it's different from if we go individually. I think the seed that he was planting is if me and you are together, like that's a ticket that's different. That's a whole nother bag.
Speaking
that, like that bag right there is dear. If me and you at the front, and I got Wale, and I got Meek, come on.
Listen,
man.
Speaking of being together, maybe they was talking about doing a collaborative album.
No,
11 songs. What?
Stop.
Wayne and Ross.
Stop.
Do you know the songs they done together?
We're done with these collaborative.
No,
albums.
We're just getting
this
started.
Is about business, bro. No, stop.
No,
stop.
I need that.
No,
I swear
we
I need.
Done
it.
Dreaming with these collaborative albums. We done with this.
That Wayne and Ross album will be fire.
Okay. All right. I'm Spike Lou. Let me break the news to you guys.
Fire.
There's going to be no Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. There's going to be no Big Sean and whoever.
Watch the Throne 2.
It's no Watch the Throne 2. These things are not going to happen. No, none of these collabs, like your Chance and Kanye, all of these things that y'all, that they floating out there. And the, what is it, Travis Scott and Future?
Or Quavo.
Whatever. It's not happening, dude. It don't make sense. It don't make money for them. It's just not happening. So we can stop saying collab album. Oh, this is be dope. Man, you should work together. We should drop 11 songs. No. We don't give a fuck about your motherfucking little wave
banging.
Trend or what you're trying to capitalize off of.
That
no, we done. We done. We done.
Banging. Nine Piece.
We're done.
John.
We are done.
Thug Cry.
We're done.
Nigga, them niggas, they make bangers.
That's fine. Collaborative album, though?
I'm here for
cool.
It, too.
We cool.
Hey, when that shit drop, remember who called that shit first.
Stop. It's not going to happen, dude.
All right, man. So, new music alert. Like I said, Currency, the 420 Massacre is the only thing. It's quiet on the music block right now. Luckily, it's been a good year up to this point, so you should have plenty of heat to listen to.
Double back on that Raws. Double back on that.
On that Gibbs, damn.
Double back on that. What?
That damn Kendrick.
Oh, yeah. Tough.
Double back
damn.
On that Big Sean.
At More Life, if you can stand it.
Double back on that More Life. You should have never took that More Life out.
You should have deleted that from your playlist.
Shit, it's good shit out here this year.
Young OVO Animal.
What you got on deck for the weekend?
I want to go see that new movie.
Fast and the Furious 8?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
God. Threw up in my mouth a little bit from that. Oh, the black superhero kid. What's the name of that? Slither?
Slight?
Slight.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Slight.
That look all right, though.
I'm going to go see that. I'm going to check out Slight this weekend. We're going to build and do some more stuff of what we got going on, but what you got up?
I might go see that Fast and the Furious this weekend. I've been slipping
no
lately.
Way.
Like, Guardians of the Galaxy around the corner.
Niggas still go to the movies to see Fast and the Furious. This is crazy to me.
Absolutely.
What?
Matter of fact, you might be the only motherfucker that don't go to the movies to see Fast and the Furious.
Clearly, they made $1 billion last
year. That's what I'm saying. Also,
after two, I thought it was dead. I ain't gonna lie.
The website. So soon.
How soon?
Sooner than y'all
Charlamagne
think.
Charlamagne got a shirt. Niggas want shirts, B.
I know, man. God damn. Niggas like, damn, Charlamagne get a shirt. I can't. I've been listening since day one. Tough. I know. Niggas. Trust me. All
right.
They're coming soon. Be on the lookout for the website. We got a new look.
Okay.
New name for the site.
I can't keep saying this.
Hey, the site done got renovated.
Tough.
Look nice. Got granite countertops now on the site.
Mm.
Wood floors on the site.
Mm.
T-shirts are on deck. Very soon. Keep your
Have
eye out.
Have you sold out?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Keep your eye on lookout. On Deck TV Podcast on IG and Twitter.
Tough.
Stay Part updated. We appreciate everybody listening. Please go to iTunes, rate, subscribe. Thank you for the people who have rated. Thank you for the people who have subscribed.
For the people that haven't, go to iTunes.
Yep.
Or whatever you listen to podcasts on. Let us know what you think about the podcast. If you want to rate it one star, that's cool. Let us know why.
Yes.
You want to rate it 5? It's cool too. We want to know why. Rate the On Deck TV podcast at iTunes, on Apple.
Man, everything else is everything else. Look for us on YouTube too, coming real soon.
Tough new videos.
Holla.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.